Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 69. Narad visits Krishna's palaces. Reading from text 13 to 15. Tasmin samana guna rupa vayaksu vesha. Tasmin samana guna rupa vayaksu matvesha. Dasi sahasra yutayanu savam rihinya. Dasi sahasra yatayanu savam grihinya. Viproda darsha chamara vyajanena rukma. Viproda darsha chamara vyajanena rukma. Dandena sattvata patim pariviya jayantya. Dandena sattvata patim parivijayantya. Tasmin samana guna rupa vayaksu svesha. Dasi sahasra yutayanu savam grihinya. Viproda darsha chamara vyajanena rukma. Dandena sattvata patim prativijayantya. Tasmin samana guna rupa vayaksu vesha. Dasi sahasra yutayanu savam grihinya. Viproda darsha chamara chajanena rukma. Dandena sattvata patim prativijayantya.
Viproda darsha chamara
strategies. Tasmin, therein, samana, equal, guna, whose personal qualities, rupa, beauty, vayaha, youth, suvesha, and fine dress, dasi, by maidservants, Sahasra, a thousand. Yutaya, joined. Anusavam, at every moment. Rihinya, together with his wife. Vipraha, the learned Brahman, Narad. The learned Brahman, Narad. Dadarsha, saw. Chamara of yak tail. Vyajanena, with a fan. Rukma, gold. Dandena, whose andal. Satvatapatim, the lord of the Satvatas. Krishna. Parivrijantya, fanning. Translation. In that place the learned Brahman saw the lord of the Satvatas, Sri Krishna, together with his wife, who fanned him with a gold-handled yak-tail fan. She personally served him in this way, even though she was constantly attended by thousands of maidservants, equal to her in personal character, beauty, youth, and fine dress. In response, please. In that place, the learned Brahman saw the lord of the Satvatas, Sri Krishna, together with his wife, who fanned him with a gold-handled yak-tail fan. She personally served him in this way, even though she was constantly attended by thousands of maidservants, equal to her in personal character, beauty, youth, and fine dress. So there are two more verses before we come to a purport. Tamsani Riksha Bhagavan Sahas Sotita Shri Aryantakata Sakala Dhamma Vrittam Varshtaha Anam Yalpada Yugalam Shirasa Kirita Justena Sanjaler Avivishat Asanesve. The Supreme Lord is the greatest of all the of religious principles. Thus, he noticed Narad, who rose at once. Thus, when he noticed Narad, he rose at once from Goddess Sri's bed, bowed his crowned head at Narad's feet, and joined his palms. He had the sage sit in his own seat. 15. Tasya viniya charano tat apasvamurdna vibrajjagat gurutamo pisatam patirhi Ramanyadeva iti yad gunanama yuktam tasyaiva yachcharanaso chamase shatirtam. The Lord bathed Narada's feet and then put the water on his own head. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme spiritual authority of the universe and the master of his devotees, it was proper for him to behave in this way. For his name is Ramanyadeva, the Lord who favours the Brahmins. Thus Sri Krishna honoured the sage Narada by bathing his feet, even though the water that bathes the Lord's own feet becomes the Ganges, the ultimate holy shrine. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Krishna's own lotus feet are the source of the most holy Ganges, the Lord did not have to purify Himself by bathing Narada Muni's feet. Rather, as Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna in Dwarka enjoyed the pastimes of perfect human being. When therefore he washed the feet of the sage Narada and took the water on his head, Narada did not object, knowing well that the Lord did so to teach everyone how to respect saintly persons. Omiganti mirandasya garanjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale srimati bhakti vedanta swami iti namine namaste sarasvati devi gauravani vacharine nirvishesha shunyavadi pastachya deshinarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Arvaita Gadadha Sri Vasti Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So here Lord Krishna is teaching a very important point, that in all situations, no matter what external position we may have, and even internal position, that there's proper Vaishnav Sadachar should be upheld in all situations. So what does Vaishnav Sadachar mean? So Vaishnav means the back to the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one who worships Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Sadachar, sad means in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And achar means the activities that one performs. So the activities of a Vaishnava are always in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is actually our real position. And when activities are performed which are not in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's called Maya. So Vaishnav Sadachar is, sometimes we think of Vaishnav Sadachar or Vaishnav etiquette that, you know, it's something we have to do to get purified. And that's true, we have to act on the platform of a Vaishnav, but then the principle is that eventually purifies the heart, it purifies the mentality. And then one can actually become a Vaishnav. The other principle is that without Vaishnav Sadachar, what's the difference between a person who's practicing devotional principles and anybody else? Srila Prabhupada was once on an aeroplane journey from Kenya to South Africa. And so the Kenyans, and especially the South Africans, they like rugby. And so South Africa had been playing in Kenya. And Prabhupada got on the same plane as all their supporters. And so they won. They'd won the match. And so they were in ecstatic symptoms. They were celebrating on the aeroplane. And they were just behind Prabhupada, and they were drinking and making a noise, and Prabhupada's servant, he became disturbed. He thought, this is not really very nice for Srila Prabhupada, so I'll try and get them to quiet down. So he told the air hostess, and the air hostess went and told them to be quiet, and they quietened down for about 5 minutes. And then the tumult came again. And so Prabhupada's servant, he was just about to get up to tell the air hostess. And Prabhupada got hold of his hand and says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to tell the air hostess to tell them to be quiet, Prabhupada. He says, what's the difference between, if we don't tolerate, what's the difference between them and us? So this is the fact that a sign that a devotee is actually advancing is that his behaviour is his behaviour is altered from that of a materialist to that of a devotee. This was quite prominent in the pastime of Lord Balaram and Romaharshana Sutta. Lord Balaram, he didn't want to take part in the battle of Kurukshetra, and so he thought, I'll purify myself. The Supreme Personality of God is thinking like that. I'll purify myself by going on pilgrimage. So one of the places he went was where the sages had all amalgamated to hear from Romaharshana Sutta. They were wanting to perform yajnas or suitable activities to purify the age of Kali, which was fast approaching. It had already started, actually. And so Lord Balaram came to pay them a visit. And as he came into the assembly, all the sages, there were sages from all over the universe. You know, Vyasadeva was there. Well, I think he was there. I can't remember all the names, but there was many elevated personalities there. And they all stood and they paid obeisances to Lord Balaram. But the speaker, Romaharshana Sutta, he just maintained his position. And then when Balaram understood the situation, he thought he's going to speak about spiritual life, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he doesn't have the intelligence to pay obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he understood that, actually, I remember this person's past activities. He's a low-born person. And he hasn't become purified. He's learnt so much. He knows so many shastras. So much so that all the sages there, they want to actually hear from him. Well, what's the point of his knowledge? He doesn't know even... This knowledge has not taught him how to reciprocate with the Supreme Lord and with the sages. And so immediately he wanted to remove the speaker from his situation. Because actually we get the qualities of the person who's speaking subtly. And also the philosophy will be slightly deviated according to the mentality of the person who's speaking. And so Lord Balaram just touched him with a blade of grass and immediately he fell dead. Learning is not the main thing. Devotional service is open for everybody. And that's the difference between other spiritual practices. Other spiritual practices rely on one's own, to a large degree of one's own particular material ability. Jnanis, it relies on their ability to differentiate between matter and spirit. Yogis, to drill the senses until the breathing's completely perfect, then the mind's controlled. But in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, actually, they can do that for thousands upon thousands of years, and they'll never understand Krishna. The only way to understand Krishna is actually to become a devotee. And whether we're actually learned or not, if we learn one thing, I'll tell a little story, actually. We learn one thing. Prabhupada was giving initiation in America. And at the time of the initiation, they'd been to the temple a few times, some new the persons came, and they also asked Prabhupada, will you give us initiation? And the temple president said, Prabhupada, you shouldn't give them initiation. They've only been to the temple a few times. They don't really know very much. And Prabhupada looked at him, and he looked at the new entrance, and he says, who is Krishna? And he said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, who are you? He says, we are his servants. He says, I'll initiate them. So actually, do we actually come to that conclusion? You know, we're learning so much Shastra. We're so, you know. But at the end of the day, if it's not changed the heart, then we can't really serve Krishna. The problem is that we can learn all this, and it can take us the wrong way. It has a tendency to make us think that we're something that we're not. You know, we don't have anything, do we? Do we have anything? I was coming on the plane yesterday, and I was sat in the front, pretty near the front, just behind the business class, actually. But it was still, it wasn't a business class. And this couple at the side of me, they had a little baby. And I was just thinking that, you know, this baby doesn't know anything. He's completely dependent on the parents. And he was sometimes shouting and yelling, and the air hostess had come. So that's actually our position. And then by gradual cultivation, by Krishna's mercy, we gradually become, you know, something of a human being, and our ability increases. But at any moment, even the greatest persons, they can be delegated completely useless. I remember when there was one well-known golf player, I think it was about 30-odd years ago. I might mention his name, but he was in the top three. And one day he got out of his, you know, his aeroplane, and he was stood near the propeller. And somehow or other, the mechanic turned the engine over, and he lost his arm. He was finished. In a second, we're finished. You know, sometimes we're singing the morning program. We're singing the Guru Vastakam prayers. We sang them, you know, 3,000 times. Then all of a sudden we forget. How is it possible? So these are things which make us sober. We're fully dependent on Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita tells us how to develop this humble spirit by whatever activity we perform. He says in the 18th chapter, Chetasa Sarva Kamani Mai Sanyasya Matpara Buddhi Yogam Zupashricha Machita Satatambhava. Krishna is saying this is the process. In all activities, depend on me. And work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And then automatically when we remember Krishna, Vaishnav Sadachar, we realize our position. Just like, you know, sometimes we have these posters with this person who's got an atlas, Charles Atlas-like body. Does anybody remember Charles Atlas? Maybe it's a thing of the past, but when I was a young boy, there used to be this, they call him Charles Atlas. I don't know whether it was his real name or what, but he had muscles on top of muscles. And, you know, you get sometimes they show the, you know, on an advertisement, they'll show, do you want to remain a 7-stone weakling, or do you want to be like Charles Atlas? And then they'll show somebody who's just 7-stone. You know, how does that person feeling compared to when he looks at Charles Atlas? He may feel when that person's not there, he may think, well, I'm not so bad, I've got a few muscles, you know what I mean? But then as soon as he sees this person, he thinks, immediately he understands his position. So this is the same. When we actually remember our real position in relationship to Krishna, then, you know, we can't help but be humble. So, and not only on ourselves, this Vaishnava Sadachar has an effect on the whole community of devotees. There's the pastime of Bali Maharaj, yeah. No, actually it wasn't Bali Maharaj. It was Rantidev. Sorry, I got the wrong pastime. Rantidev. Now he was a very, very pious king. And he used to perform austerities for the benefit of his subjects. You know, he wasn't doing these austerities for himself. And he decided to fast for, I think it was 1 year, either 1 year or 40 days. I think it was 1 year. And his family also decided to fast with him because they were very chaste to the king. And he was fasting, and after 1 year, the day of the fast came, of breaking the fast. And he didn't even go and look for prasadam for himself. He was so dependent on Krishna. And in due course, prasadam was brought, all different nice eatables. And he was about to feed his family and take himself, and there was a knock at the door. And this Brahmin came, and he said, "I'm really hungry. Can you give me something to eat?" I mean, after a full year of fasting, it's difficult not to give way to temptation. But he thought, this is a Brahmin. You know, we get a lot of benefit from feeding a Brahmin. Yeah? So this is worth doing. So he gave the Brahmin and fed him nicely. When the Brahmin was satisfied, he sat down to eat again with his family. And then a Shudra came. And the Shudra said, "Whoa, I'm really hungry. Can you give me something to eat?" Well, I mean, this is just a Shudra, isn't it? I mean, you don't get much benefit from feeding a Shudra. So, but Maharaj Rantidevi thought, no, this is proper Vaishnava etiquette. He fed the Shudra. The Shudra was satisfied. Then he fed his family to make sure they were satisfied. And then he sat down to eat. There was another knock at the door. Chandala came with his dogs. And he said, "Me and my dogs are so hungry. Can you give us something to eat?" So Maharaj Rantidevi didn't see any difference between the Brahmin and the Chandala and the Shudra. He fed the dogs, he fed the Chandala. And then he said, "Oh, at least I've got water. I can break my fast with water and maintain this life." Don't forget, he'd been fasting for a year. So he was, you know, on the edge of life. Then there was another knock at the door. And this time it was a stranger. It was an unwanted guest, it's explained. And the person said, "I'm really dying from thirst. Can you give me something to drink to save my life?" And so Maharaj Rantidev said that, "If by giving this person my last glass of water and I can maintain his life, then I will be free from all lamentation and all difficulty." And so he gave the water. And then all the demigods who had been taking these different positions appeared before Maharaj Rantidev. They'd just been testing him for his, see how much he was following Vaishnava Sadachar. He didn't see any difference in any situation between the Supreme Lord and any of these different living entities. He saw them all in relationship to Krishna. And therefore he could act properly. And then it says that because he acted like that, he went back to Godhead. He purified his life and he went back to the Supreme Abode. But not only that, because he followed Vaishnava etiquette properly, all his subjects acted in the same way and they all went back to Godhead. So when we're following Vaishnava Sadachar, it's not just for ourselves, it's for the society of the society of ISKCON and the general society. On the other hand, there's the pastime of Lord Indra. Lord Indra was sat on his throne. I mean, Lord Indra is quite something. He's the chief of the administrative demigods. He's worshipped just like the Supreme Lord, with Yaktail, Fan and Chamara, like this. And him and his wife Sachidevi were receiving this worship. And in came his spiritual master Brihaspati. And he was so infatuated with his situation that he didn't have the intelligence to get down and welcome his spiritual master and pay obeisances. And Brihaspati didn't curse him at that time or verbally chastise him. Worse, he just completely ignored him. And he walked out. There's nothing worse than being completely ignored. That's the final chastisement. If we're chastised, it means the person thinks this person needs correcting. But if they walk away, it means that we're really in trouble. He's thinking, this person's beyond being corrected. The only way to correct him is to shock him into the proper mentality. So he walked out. And then Indra, he realized what he'd done. And so he sent his men, go and fetch Brihaspati back. But it was too late. Brihaspati had disappeared. And then later, as a result of that insult to his spiritual master, King Indra lost the heavenly planets to Bali Maharaj. He lost everything. And it says that just like Indra lost everything due to not following proper sadachar, all his subjects had to suffer also. So we see that, you know, this is so important, that the way we act is a result of our realization. The result of knowledge is that we become Vaishnavs, we become humbled. Just like the Sadhguru's Swamis, it says they were, you know, paying obeisances. Raghunath Das Goswami was paying obeisances 1,000 times a day. And it says, Sankapurvakanama Jnani Natibi, that they were paying obeisances and they were chanting the holy name and they were measuring. It was secluded. In measurements, they were making sure that they actually did this every day. And he says, but the main thing was that Atyantadino means they were very meek and humble, remembering the transcendental nature and pastimes of the Lord. So, this is something to see, to be taken into account by a Vaishnava. That, you know, the Goswamis, who are our spiritual masters, they are acting like that. So we have to also become situated in that humility by hearing from Shastra, by association of devotees, and by hearing properly and associating properly. We actually become realized. And then we can understand our position very clearly. So humility, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be paying obeisances to everybody all the time, that we're always taking the humble role externally. But humility means that sometimes we have to do things which we don't like to do for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Bhishma Dev, he took the position of opposing the Supreme Lord. And that's real humility. Everybody was thinking that Bhishma Dev actually is wrongly situated. He's on the other side. He didn't say anything when Draupadi was being disrobed. He's opposing he's a grandfather of the Pandavas and all the Kauravas. And he's opposing the Pandavas, his very dear nephews, grandnephews. And so Bhishmadev accepted all this criticism. How do you think it feels to be in that situation? Nobody understands. You know, it's very easy just to think, oh, I have to look after my profile. It's not my fault. I'm acting according to the will of Krishna and making so many excuses. But no, he just accepted the situation. And then eventually, Krishna rewarded him. He made him the supreme authority in Shastra. Krishna preached to Maharaj Yudhisthira after the battle, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was feeling despondent about so many people losing their lives in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna preached, but it didn't change Maharaj Yudhisthira's heart. And so then to glorify his devotee, he sent him to Bhishma Dev. And then he heard from Bhishma Dev and he became enlightened. So this is the nature of humility. It means that in some situations we accept a role which appears that we're not in a humble situation, that we may be the opposite. But if humility means to serve the Supreme Personality of God in all situations, not thinking about our own false prestige. So it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day today. I don't know whether there'll be a class later on today. Is there? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of the acharyas in our line. I think it was Gurudas, he was once speaking to Prabhupada. And he was glorifying Prabhupada. He said, "I like reading your book so much, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "Oh, you like reading my books?" And Gurudas realized that, I cannot cover anything up in front of Prabhupada. He says, "I really like reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books more than Prabhupada's." And he said, "Oh yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an erudite scholar. His books are far superior to mine. You can carry on reading them." And actually, coming from England, I don't know whether it's the same in India, but when I read about, Bhaktivinoda, the way he preaches, he's preaching to the Christians, to the English Raj who came. He was preaching for the leaders who were coming from England to try and make them Krishna conscious. So his works are pretty much in the line of the way the English write. And also I find them very attractive because he's writing like that, being brought up in a Christian culture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a lot for this movement. His main contribution was that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead disappears, or when one of his very powerful servants disappear, then there's always some turmoil within the association of Vaishnavas. And this is when unscrupulous people begin to take advantage. So this is what had happened in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, that 13 asampradayas had taken root in society. The owls, bowls, darvis, Chowdhury, darvish. Anyway, 13 sampradayas, and they're all actually centered around sense gratification. And so, as a result of that, the well-to-do people in India, the people who were aristocratic or religious, they completely became sick of Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism's name went down. That anybody who was a Vaishnava was a low-class person by virtue of these 13 asampradayas. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he rejuvenated Vaishnavism by defeating these sampradayas. So the name of the position of Vaishnavism was brought back to its proper rightful place. And then people began to follow the process again. He also started the Namhatta system. Many, many Namhattas in East West Bengal. He retired from his post as magistrate, and him and two other devotees, they completely inundated Bengal with Vaishnavam through the Namhatta process. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also an emblem of humility. When we develop the better qualities, when we have bad qualities, we see bad qualities in others. We say, just see. What it means, just see. We are seeing something in somebody else because we can recognize it. If we don't have it, we can't recognize it in others, or it's very difficult. And so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is the example of how he was the deputy magistrate. Very high position. One of the few Indians who held that position. Mostly when you got to that situation, only the English gentry held the position of deputy magistrate or magistrate or viceroy. And so he was going through so many cases in a day, he was so expert. And some of the English gentry, some of the English magistrates, they were getting a little bit worried, he'll be taking my place soon. So they tried to, create obstacles in his path, but he never even noticed them. He just carried on his routine, and in the morning he'd go through so many cases, he took them everybody else the rest of the day to do half as many. And so then the English tradition is, at the end of life, is that the Christian tradition is that if you've actually done any harm to anybody or you've wanted to do harm to others, then you should go to that person and it's called prayaschitta. You should apologize profusely and ask for his blessings before you leave this world. And so this, I can't remember his name, I think it was Mr. Renshaw. He was, you know, very sick and he was coming towards the end of his life. He'd been a magistrate and he came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, my dear sir, he says, in the past I've tried to create so many difficulties for you. And therefore I want to apologize for this and ask for your blessings. And he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely astonished. He didn't know that this person was trying to do him so many wrongs. Why? Because he was in the position of being purified. He was dainya, very humble. And he would see everybody else in the same light. So, maybe there's a few minutes left if we can just have any questions about Bhaktivinoda Thakur or this particular process.
Thank you, Anas, for a wonderful class. You mentioned just at the end that, very correct, that we tend to look at others according to our qualities. So when we have a negative view or a critical mind, then we look at, find those same qualities elsewhere. So this is in our mind, and at the same time, we also, on a moment-to-moment, literally, or day-to-day basis, have to make choices and discriminate between to do one thing or not the other, and therefore we see that this is not the correct path, he is not doing correctly, and I shouldn't be doing this. So how do we know, what is the kind of rain check for us to know that we are actually critical in our mind, and at the same, or when we have to just discriminate and make the right choice?
Well, ultimately, it's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We have to become fixed in knowledge, and by virtue of this Shastric knowledge, transcendental knowledge, we're able to see everything in its proper perspective, ultimately, and by the association of devotees. So, yes, we have to discriminate in order to, you know, this is a Madhyamadhikari. He has to discriminate in order to be able to associate with devotees, to preach, avoid the non-devotees, and to properly worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's there. But I was referring to the general tendency of a devotee is to, the other side to it is that we see the good. Prabhupada said, you know, a devotee is like the moon. And if we notice the spots, then maybe we need to alter our perception. Maybe we need to understand that we are not seeing properly. But in general, glorify. And at the same time, obviously, if there's something which is out of order, we're able to recognize that. So both things are there. But, you know, generally is to try and see the good as much as possible, because the tendency in the material world is the opposite, is to see the bad. You know, everything in the material world is being affected by these modes of nature, and therefore the qualities are being affected by the qualities of a devotee are even affected by the association with the modes of nature. So we have to be very diligent in fighting against this. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we can stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. There is an announcement on the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There will be kirtans and bhajans starting from 11:15 a.m. Till the kirtan and bhajans will go on till 12:15 p.m. and there will be Pushpanjali.